Job 21. Hear the word of the Lord. I will be reading from the Modern English Version. But Job answered, "Listen carefully to my speech, and let this be your consolation. Bear with me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint against man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Look at me and be astonished, and put your hand over your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling takes hold of my body. Why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. Their descendants are established with them in their sight, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, nor is the rod of God upon them. Their bull breeds without failure. Their cow gives calves without miscarriage. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take up the tambourine and harp and rejoice at the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to Sheol. Therefore they say to God, 'Depart from us, for we do not desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray to him? Indeed, their prosperity is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me.' How often is the lamp of the wicked put out? How often does their destruction come upon them? The sorrows God distributes in his anger. They are like straw before the wind and like chaff that a storm carries away. God stores up their iniquity for their children. Let him reward the people themselves and they will know it. Let their eyes see their own destruction and let them drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what do they care about their households after them when the number of their months is cut off? Can anyone teach God knowledge? Since he judges those who are on high, one dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails are full of milk, and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They will lie down alike in the dust, and worms will cover them. Behold, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. For you say, 'Where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked?' Have you not asked them who travel the road, and do you not know their signs? For the wicked are reserved for the day of destruction. They will be brought forth on the day of wrath. Who will declare his way to his face? And who will repay him for what he has done? Yet will he be brought to the grave and will remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley will be sweet unto him, and everyone will follow him as countless have gone before. How then can you comfort me with emptiness, since deceit remains in your answers? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." I've simply titled this afternoon's message, "False." False. Neil must be a fan of The Office and this character, Dwight Schrute, who someone would make an objective statement and it'd say, "False!" And it'd correct them. In the presidential debates, "Wrong. Wrong." I try not to adjust the mic too much. I don't want to be associated with anyone who does that. But Job, in a sense here, is simply standing up in the face of his friends, particularly in the face of Zophar, and he's saying, wrong. False. I do not accept your answer. Even the content and flow of Job's next speech is very similar to that of Zophar's, but he, in a sense, sets the record straight. Remember, we said that Job's friends get some things right, but they're constantly misapplying it and getting just enough wrong that it's leaving Job high and dry when it comes to comfort. As he asks, how then can you comfort me with emptiness since deceit remains in your answers? As you mentioned in first service, there are some who are studying biblical counseling among us, and part of what we have to work on in that discipline is not just having the right theology, but applying the right theology rightly in the right place, the right time, to the right person for the right reason. We must do that if we are to point people to Christ as the ultimate answer for the issues that they face in this life. So Job begins in his introductory, firstly, says, cover your mouth. He's here, in a sense, a shock and awe. He's setting it up to take Zophar's speech and to turn it on its head. And we can look back at what Zophar was saying. I know that some of you parents, you have your children, you give them a list of words, and you'll say, how many times does pastor say this? I had one family tell me they had never had to put the word excrement on the list of words before last time. What does Zophar say here? Remember, he's very riled up. I've got to speak. I've got to say this. Do you not know this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment, though his loftiness extends to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own excrement. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and will not be found, etc., etc. See, what Zophar was getting right was the end of the wicked, but he was getting the timing all wrong. Job stands up in the face of this and he says, false. That is not true. If what you're saying is true, there would be no old pagans. And there are lots of them. There would be no old atheists. But there are lots of them. Hugh Hefner never would have moved to LA. He would have been dead in Chicago. If what Zophar is saying is true. And see, what Zophar is doing is using the end of the wicked and he's sliding it up the timeline and saying, Job, you must be wicked because bad things are happening to you. And Job, by the grace of Christ, was able to stand up and say, false. If what you're saying is true, they would all be dead, and they're not. Not only are they still alive, their children are still alive, their grandchildren are still alive, and are running the company with them. You might be shocked by this answer, he says. Listen carefully to my speech, and let this be your consolation. See, his friends were putting out this attitude that, Job, we're so concerned for you and this sin that you're in. You must be in wickedness because of all these things that have befallen you on this day. And Job says, be comforted by this. There are lots of wicked people that don't have bad things happening to them. So that must not be the case. Put your hand over your mouth. Secondly, we see common grace. Common grace that is at work in our world. And as Christians, we need to recognize this reality of common grace. that there are those who hate God, and yet in this life they experience things that are actually good. And we cannot determine in and of ourselves if God is using that to call them or to harden them. Only the Lord knows in His time, and in the end it will be revealed. But they do actually experience good things in this life, and that is common grace. Why do the wicked live and become old? And not only do they become old, they become mighty in power. They have influence. They've got the portfolio that can do get quite a bit done. Their descendants are established with them in their sight and their offspring before their eyes. It's like paganistic covenantal living. They've trained up their children in the way they want them to go, and they go that way, and their children go that way, and it's like a covenant against God, and they establish generation after generation in that covenant against Him. Their houses are safe from fear, nor is the rod of God upon them. And here are the you can see Job exaggerating the point. Their bull breeds without failure. They've got the most fertile bull in the world. There's never a miscarriage among their cows. Even their children are like flocks before them, dancing and singing and playing and just beautiful children. All the children are above average, is that the statement? This is common grace in Lake Wobegon. Everything is better than it is every or anywhere else for the one who mocks God, who hates God. So we see this common grace at work, that not even the most wicked experience hardship all the time in this life. There seems to be a natural ebb and flow of blessing and difficulty in the life of believers and unbelievers. And what did we see in the psalm that we read and have begun to sing? That sometimes the wicked flourishing and the righteous shriveling is a point of strife and conflict for us. Why are they doing so well? But see, when we enter into the house of God, when we come face to face with God's word, we're reminded, that's right. This life is not all there is. And this is one of the main tenets of the faith that Job's friends had forgotten. They were acting as if right here, right now, is all that matters, and it isn't. So if you are frustrated, discouraged, downcast, downtrodden, trampled underfoot, take heart. There is the life to come that matters in more profound ways than in this life. And it helps us to get a grip on not only the hardships of life, but also the blessings of life. And we're reminded that for the wicked, the good things in this life, that's the best it'll ever be for them. That's the best it will ever be. And the bad things in this life for the believer are the worst they will ever be for us. We have heaven waiting for us. Well, thirdly, we see this continued pleasure. How often is the lamp of the wicked put out? How often does their destruction come upon them? The sorrows God distributes in His anger. They're like straw before the wind and like chaff that a storm carries away. There's no real sense or logic. There's no chart on the wall. You say, oh, what did you do? okay, half your flock's going to die. That's how it's going to happen. No, there's no one-to-one ratio anywhere. God stores up their iniquity for their children. Let him reward the people themselves, and they will know it. Part of the problem here is that they don't experience the consequences of their hatred for God. They don't. They just keep going on, and they keep winning and winning and winning, and they think, I'm always going to win. And by the time they understand that they lose, it's too late. They stand before the face of Almighty God. Let their eyes see their own destruction, and let them drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what do they care about their households after them when the number of their months is cut off? Can anyone teach God knowledge since he judges those who are on high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and secure. His pails are full of milk and the marrow of his bones is moist. Another dies in the bitterness of his soul, never having eaten with pleasure. They will lie down alike in the dust and the worms will cover them. We see this continued pleasure of the wealthy pagan who does not acknowledge God. And this comes at complete odds with what Zophar was trying to say in his last speech. See, Job? See? God punishes the wicked. The end of the wicked is destruction. You've had destruction. Therefore, you must be wicked. And Job says, false. This isn't the end. And Job is still basking in chapter 19. Not that he knew it was chapter 19 at the time, but he's still basking in chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer lives. And he will stand on that last day, and all of the redeemed will stand with him. That day matters more than this day. I may stand, I may fall, I may lie down, I may sleep, I may die. Whatever, what happens on that day is the final verdict. And if we are in Christ, we will stand with him. Let the wicked have their pleasure. Let them have their glory day in the hot sun, because in the end they will shrivel. In the end they will shrink back in fear, knowing that the one they mocked, knowing that the one they derided, knowing the one that they had no time for. And why should they? Job asks some great yet killer questions here. Why should we pray when we've got everything we can handle right here? Why should I ask for my daily bread when I've got silo after silo after silo of wheat behind my house? In fact, I might tear down those silos and build bigger ones because I've been able to generate so much wealth. Why should I pray? Why should I turn to him? And that continued pleasure did not thwart Job. All it did was thwart Zophar's speech against Job. And Job reaches his conclusion here. Behold, I know your thoughts and the schemes with which you would wrong me. The schemes with which you would wrong me. For you say, where is the house of the prince, and where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have you not asked for them who asked them who travel the road, and do you not know their signs? For the wicked are reserved for the day of destruction. They will be brought forth on the day of wrath. Who will declare his way to his face, and who will repay him for what he has done? Yet will he be brought to the grave and will remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley will be sweet unto him, and everyone will follow him as countless have gone before. How then can you comfort me with emptiness, since deceit remains in your answers? Remember the woman at the well? Remember that counseling appointment? When Christ sat with that woman and told her everything that she had done? And I love it. It's such a good lesson for us. Jesus knew everything that she had done, and he wasn't shocked. He wasn't offended. He wasn't worried that she might not like singing the Psalms. He wasn't worried that she might not get this reformed faith. He knew everything that she had done. He told it to her boldly, and he loved her. And she became that evangelist to that village. And she ran back in. Can you imagine? He told me everything I've ever done. Some people are like, I didn't think you were at the well that long. Because I know some of what you've done. If he told you everything you've done, that must have been a long conversation, Judy. Because, you know, listen, you know, she knew her heart. He laid it all out right before her in this life when she had a chance to repent. Now, that same tactic will be used on that last day. They're going to stand before God, the one whom they've mocked, the one whom they've derided, the one for whom they've had no time, the one for whom there's no reason for them to pray to him or to cry out to him. Why waste a couple hours a week going and setting in worship, singing these old songs? I've got everything I need right here. And they're going to stand face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty Judge of the universe. And he's going to start laying their life out before them. And they're going to say, yeah, but, and they're going to lay out their intentions before him. And he's going to lay out what they really were doing in that moment. See, in the human justice system, all they can deal with is what's said out loud in the court. That's why they guard and protect so closely what's said out loud. And humanity will not know what to do standing before one who knows not only the actions done in the body, but the intents of the heart. And he will expose that to them. And it will be over. It will be too late. Let this motivate us in our evangelism. Let this motivate us to declare the riches of Jesus Christ, of this very judge, to the lost and dying world around us. And let us use it properly to build one another up. Not like Zophar and company were using against Job to beat him down and to discourage him. But let us use that final judgment, that last great day when all of the redeemed will stand before him, and we will stand, and we will judge, and we will rule. Let that be an encouragement to us. And Job's conclusion here is clear. All your words, all that you're saying, how can they possibly comfort me? Because it's false. It's false comfort. It's false encouragement. And brothers and sisters, let this drive us to good doctrine. Let this drive us to getting the Bible right, getting our theology right, so that we might rightly counsel and encourage and build one another up in light of that last great day. Let us cry true and give true counsel and true encouragement and consequently true love for one another as we work with one another. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we are learning much about how not to counsel as we walk together through the pages of Job. We're taking broad strokes. We're seeing large snippets before us time after time. And yet we can see how dangerous false counsel can be. When a man is broken and a man is torn down, and yet his friends, so-called, keep coming after him and coming after him to repent of sins he did not commit. Lord, help us to be better, to do better than this for one another. Help us to love one another enough to search the pages of Scripture and to give true counsel and comfort to our brothers and sisters. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.